That's right. In the Cage with Bards, Vancouver's preeminent program when it comes to covering mixed martial arts. And we got a lot talked about today, obviously. UFC 118 is around the corner. Randy Couture taking on James Toney in the boxing against the MMA. Well, it's billed as a boxing versus MMA matchup anyway. And we've also got the lightweight title rematch. Frankie the Answer Edgar taking on former long-term dominant champion BJ Penn. Before we get to all that, though, there was some local MMA taking place at the River Rock Casino in Richmond. Battlefield was in the house, and it was a fantastic show. Anyone who missed it, really try to find any way, legal or otherwise, to do it, to watch the show. I'm not going to tell you how to run your life. The results run something like this. In a 135-pound women's fight, Alicia Carrington defeated Nadine Spills by TKO in the second round. Alicia, she came out wearing a Good Luck Nadine shirt, which, you know, I thought it was classy enough until I realized that Nadine needed a hell of a lot more than luck, as she was completely overmatched from the opening bell. Nadine apparently had never fought MMA before and took the fight on 2 weeks' notice. That's what was told anyway. And, well, to be blunt, it showed. Not to take anything away from Alicia, though, the Savage looked great, and here's hoping she steps back into the cage soon. In a lightweight matchup, Alfred Lee defeated Tony Hewn by rear naked choke in the first round. And in a featherweight matchup, Kirk C defeated Dean Northup in the second round by rear naked choke. Welterweight action, Marco Cafiero defeated Sonny Cejudo by knockout in about 20 seconds. He just blitzed him from the word go. That was the knockout of the night, and there was no contention about that whatsoever. In a 190-pound catchweight bout, Justin Lansing defeated Stefan Malik by armbar in the first round. That earned him the submission of the night. Back to welterweights, as Nick Marinos defeated Clay Ayers by TKO in round two. Marinos had an Indian chief with him in his entourage. That may have given him the advantage. It was not confirmed whether or not that was Chief J. Strongbow. In the post-fight interview, Marinos took the time to thank all of his sponsors by reading them off his shorts, which I thought was hilarious. During the intermission, they had a couple come up to the cage where the man actually proposed his girlfriend right in the middle of the cage there. The woman was clearly excited as she responded to the proposal with a, "Hell yeah!" That's one classy broad and one lucky dude. In a catchweight grappling encounter under Abu Dhabi rules, UFC veteran Caleb Starnes defeated Nick Hinchliff by points decision. Starnes now owns a victory over Hinchliff in both MMA and grappling contests. Starnes was also there to promote his work with the BC Children's Hospital and the Aegis Athletics Program via the Richmond Sports Club. Back to welterweight action, Sean Zubor defeated Nick Austin by split decision. Austin, he won me over at the weigh-in at the Players Chop House, when after he made weight, instead of doing what all the rest of the fighters were doing, you know, grabbing the Gatorade or going for the water or, you know, having their coaches help them after the nice, you know, hard weight cut that a lot of them clearly did, he walked right up to the bar and ordered a Caesar. I thought, yeah, that's my kind of guy right there. Didn't seem to help him any, as Zubor took a close decision in what was awarded a tie for fight of the night. In heavyweight action, Adam Santos defeated Tristan King by TKO in round one. In the other fight of the night, welterweights Jason Brooks and Matt Dwyer put on an amazing spectacle. It truly was a full mixed martial arts exhibition with amazing takedowns, transitions, tons of submission attempts. They fought all over the cage, and when it was over, the crowd was standing saluting both fighters. Brooks took the decision, but there were no losers in that one. The main event saw a 140-pound catchweight bout between Chris Day and Gary Manjot, which was more of the same from the previous bout, just amazing action from bell to bell, and when it was all said and done, Manjot took an extremely close decision. Battlefield will be returning to the River Rock Casino in Richmond in October, and I encourage everyone out there to come out, enjoy the show, and support local MMA. Well, gotta take a quick break now, but we'll be back later in the show. We'll have Mark Pavlich from the Maximum Fighting Championships on, and we'll be previewing UFC 118 as well. Don't you dare miss it.
Are you a UBC student taking first-year economics, math, chemistry, or physics?
That stuff is hard.
Are you feeling like you need some tutoring? That's okay, because the AMS offers free and appointment tutoring for students in these subjects.
Whoa! How does it work?
It's on a first-come, first-served basis, and there's no need to sign up. Just show up with your books and your questions.
Whoa! When does it happen?
Monday to Thursday from 3 to 7 at the Sub Pacific Spirit Cafeteria, located beside the Starbucks.
Whoa! A+, here I come.
Shipping up to Boston, the Dropkick Murphys on 101.9 CITR FM. Shipping up to Boston will be the UFC this Saturday. That's right, they will be invading Dana White's hometown, and I'm sure Dana is tickled pink about that. You know, if the guy can reunite the House of Pain, then he can really do no wrong, in my opinion. It's going to be a stacked card there, as it would be as a debut card in any new market. Headlining is the late UFC Lightweight Championship, Frankie the Answer Edgar taking on the Prodigy BJ Penn in a rematch from their contest earlier this year in Abu Dhabi. Edgar won that one by decision. A lot of people thought Penn looked off. We will see what goes on here. Edgar is riding high. He's got a lot of confidence. And BJ, as he usually does after a loss, seems really whiny and pissed off. So hopefully he can bring some of that negative energy with him and, you know, smash all over Edgar's face. But Edgar, you know, he looks like he feels weightless right now. He's tough to bet against because he's always the underdog, yet he always seems to win. The other fight everyone is talking about, Randy the Natural Couture, the MMA legend, stepping into the cage to fight boxing's own bad boy, James Lights Out Tony. I was actually watching Dana White's video blog today, and Dana was talking to Mike Tyson, and when the subject of James Tony came up, Tyson appeared to lean towards Couture in the bout, which was no surprise. Well, no surprise for anyone with half a brain. I'm not sure if Tyson qualifies there, though. But anyway, my point being is that when Tyson was asked about Tony, he said he was really kind of crazy and dark. If Mike Tyson is calling you crazy and dark, I am going to go out on a limb and say you have taken a serious left turn somewhere in your life. Most people believe that the only shot James Tony has here is to hit Randy Couture before Couture is able to lay a finger on him. I personally believe that Couture will just kind of dance around, maybe throw a couple leg kicks, then drive that double leg takedown and just ground and pound Tony until he taps out, which will be no surprise to anyone except maybe James Lights Out Tony himself. Also on the card, a lightweight contender bout as Kenny Florian is also going into his hometown, taking on Gray the Bully Maynard. This will be a very interesting matchup. Maynard, of course, a very decorated wrestler and has been bullying his way through the lightweight division. Kenny Florian has done everything except to win the title in that division. He's shown really markedly improved in his stand-up. His Muay Thai looks great. His elbows are always dangerous. And his jiu-jitsu is superb. I really don't see Maynard winning this. It's been a fun little ride for Gray, but with the exception of Nate Diaz, who he won a controversial decision over, he really hasn't defeated anyone of Kenny's caliber. And I think we'll see Florian rematch the winner of Edgar and Penn somewhere down the line, maybe in early 2011. Also on the card, middleweight Damian Maia takes on Mario Miranda. Damian is also coming off a loss at Abu Dhabi to champion Anderson the Spider Silva in what was a long and weird fight, which saw a lot of Silva's histrionics. Maia, this really looks like a placeholder fight for him. He's obviously one of the most dangerous submission artists in the promotion. Mario Miranda, he's a tough guy on his way up. He defeated David Loazzo the last time he was in the cage, but it doesn't look good for him. I'm going to go out on a limb and pick Maia by submission in this one. In welterweight action, Nate Diaz will take on the Irish hand grenade Marcus Davis. Davis owns a market advantage in his boxing. Maybe not technique, but definitely power. Diaz likes to stick to those pitter-patter punches. And Davis will also have a huge crowd advantage, too, when he walks out there in front of what could be a predominantly Irish crowd in Boston. But Diaz, he loves playing the bad guy. Never count that guy out. There's no shit, no shame in admitting I'm a big fan of the Diaz brothers and their attitudes in and out of the cage. I'm not sure Diaz, though, has the size to go in there and take out Marcus Davis. He is coming up from 155 pounds, and he looked better there. He's got a really that long, lanky body type that would suit him better in the lighter weight class. But we'll see what happens there. And on Spike TV, the preliminary fights, Creepy Joe Lozon taking on Gabe Godzilla Rudiger. Lozon coming back after a long injury layoff, and Rudiger coming back to the promotion as a late injury replacement. The last time we saw Gabe Rudiger was on the show The Ultimate Fighter, and where he was kicked off the show due to missing weight for his fight and really didn't look too good in the process, but apparently he's redeemed himself. I saw a video on YouTube of him training Paris Hilton, so clearly he's taking it very seriously. Lozon, of course, He's a great grappler, a very intense. Last guy you'd look at to figure would be a tough guy, but he most certainly is. Coming off a tough loss to Sam Stout, but no decision in losing to that tough Canadian for sure. Beyond that, who knows what the future will hold if Lauzon is able to put on a highlight reel performance and take out Rüdiger. This might get him talking about him back in the mix at 155. The other show that will be broadcast live on Spike TV, Ultimate Fighter alumni Andre Winner taking on Nick Lentz. Winner, of course, is coming out of Team Roughhouse, the same British camp that houses Dan the Outlaw Hardy. He's got two back-to-back wins coming into this one. He's looking to make a name for himself in front of a national audience, and we'll see if he can do just that when he makes his Octagon debut in Boston along with the rest of the promotion against Nick the Carney Lentz, who has got one of the greatest nicknames in the sport. Lentz is actually coming off a win against Robert Emerson at UFC Fight Night 21. We'll see where he goes from here, but any guy that beats up Robert Emerson is okay with me. All right, going to take another quick little break now, and we'll come back with MFC President Mark Pavlich. He will be in the cage with Bards right after this.
I'm troubled by shapeless fears. Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them? I hope I've landed on my feet this time.
Need a place to rent? Have a place for rent? AMS Rents Line can help. AMS Rents Line is an easy-to-operate, touch-tone, and web-based system that connects thousands of landlords with UBC students looking for off-campus housing. UBC students can search the ads for free or place a two-week posting for $5. To view current listings, visit www.amsrentsline.com.
Yeah!
And that is Thunderstruck AC/DC on 101.9 CITR. And joining us now, we have the president of the Maximum Fighting Championships, Mark Pavlich, on the line. How are you, Mark?
I'm fantastic. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks so much for joining us on the program. What's new in your little corner of the world, meeting Edmonton, I guess?
Well, my corner's very large now, right?
Yeah.
Being the owner of the largest mixed martial art organization in the country, my corner stretches out from your part of the country all the way into Newfoundland. Right? So people now can watch the Maximum Fighting Championship all over Canada, the United States, and Mexico live on HDNet.
Excellent. And we're loving every minute of it. Now, you've built up the MFC as kind of a Pavlich family affair in many ways. Did that originate out of a mutual love for the sport, or was it just cheaper to hire family members?
It's probably cheaper to hire family members. That's a good analogy. I've never heard anybody put it that way. No, you know what it is? My wife was more of the, what's the word? She saw the outside of it. My son and I were always like, go, 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 go. And my wife was kind of like the one going, hey, guys, wait a second. We got to crawl before we can run. We got to run before we can sprint. You know, it was that kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. My son and I, we basically, you know, basically the same. We're like, you know, balls the wall all the time, right?
Right.
And you can't be like that in this sport. You got to be very careful sometimes, right? Because you can go broke real fast.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've built this up from a smaller promotion into, you know, a really an international phenomenon. When you first started promoting, did you ever think that your company is going to grow the largest in Canada and probably one of the largest in North America?
Ooh, you said that. I didn't say that.
Oh, I'm saying it.
You know what? I dreamt about it. I sit around every day and I think about it. I really did. And then I started thinking about, I'm going to be the biggest show around this area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking, you know what, man? I really can be the biggest show in Canada, right? And then when I was in the big, then when I got to that mentality and then we did the work to be the biggest show in the country, now I look at it and go, okay, I want to be the biggest show in the country, but now there's not even a second place to what we do now. And I really believe the second place show in the country now is Heat XC, my son's show. I really do. I believe he sold out 5 straight shows. The package of how he puts the show together, it's incredible. It's really clean. The fights are extremely aggressive. And I've seen other products, and they look very bushly compared to Heat XC. So I look at my son's show now as the second best show in the country. So Pavlich Sports owns the 2 best shows in the country. I've seen all these other shows, and I look at, first of all, I look at fight, you know, I look at the fight cards. I look at the fighters in that organization, right? And most, 99% of any organization in Canada right now, the fight cards are bush league at best. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I look at it like, you know, I've started to kind of, like, I went to a show recently in Winnipeg. I watched the show. I mean, the production was okay. The crowd was pretty okay. The fight card, the guys on the card were beyond Bush League. So, great. You have the part of this formula where you go, this is good, but then you forgot a very big piece of the puzzle, which is basically your fighter roster, right?
Right.
And that's one thing. We're overkill compared to any other show in the country. We're overkill to the fact that we have all these great fighters on our roster where even HDNet says on occasion, Mark, you don't have to load your cards up so much like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, that's weird when your TV partners are saying that. You know, but I always think that MFC 26 is our last show. In my head, I say that, right? We're going to go to MFC 200 probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, why would I hold anything back from the fans that are paying this kind of money to come watch us and hold things back? No, I'm going to throw everything at them every time, and then, you know, the next show will come up with cooler stuff.
Right, exactly. And you mentioned that your involvement with HDNet. How did you become involved with Mark Cuban and HDNet?
I knew that to bring me to the next level, that I knew I had to be on live television, not on, you know, 3 months later, here it comes, you're going to watch it, and that's going to be the end of it, right? And I knew that it was so imperative that I become the first live show in the country, and not even just live in Canada. I'm live in the United States, Mexico. I know people in the Cayman Islands that watch the MFC, right? So that was a big thing for me. I was, like, really obsessed with being on live television, right? And, you know, there's a lot of other things, you know, that, you know, like I said, you could be doing shows, you know, for 10,000 people. But mm-hmm. if those only 10,000 people see you, you know, that's as big as you're going to be.
Right.
Well, I get X amount of people at the live event, and then on top of it all, I get, you know, 500,000 plus watching it live.
Absolutely. And you've really cemented yourself as, you know, probably the king of Western Canada anyway. How did you feel about WEC and their recent foray into Edmonton, your stomping grounds?
I thought it was comical. You know, Reed Harris comes into my town, makes a bunch of stupid cracks, and then the show bombs and had the worst viewing in ever on their TV network, and then the attendance was horrible. Mm. So I was looking at it going, why wouldn't you come into where I live and say, you know, be complimentary, be nice. Maybe, hey, maybe I would actually even come to your show. You know what I mean?
Right.
But no, instead you come here and you with your bravado and basically pee on what I've created over the last 10, 11 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if Uncle Dana didn't hold Reed Harris's hand to show him where the washroom was, he wouldn't have a clue where it is. Trust me when I tell you this. He's half an imbecile. DW runs the whole show, trust me. If he and I give all the respect in the world to DW, but mm-hmm. I'm telling you, they run now that organization, because if they left it solely to him, it would be in the toilet. And he's got some real exciting fighters in his organization. And the funny part is he doesn't seem like a guy that really knows what's, you know, you'd probably have to point to show him where the washroom is, you know, because that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, and you mentioned that it seems like Dana's running the show. Do you think the day is coming where sooner rather than later we're going to see WEC fold into the UFC?
I wouldn't say they're going to fold. I use the word amalgamate, you know,
okay.
Because... You know, they have some. Listen, I don't watch their show very often. I didn't watch it when it came to town. Either did a lot of people, right, fan-wise. And the thing is that I think there's some great fighters in their organization. I think there's a disservice to them by being in that organization. I think, you know, you have to shuffle them up to DW show.
Mm-hmm. You were interested in actually coming to Vancouver, running a show here at the PNE before you ran into the local bureaucracy. What exactly happened there?
Well, it's interesting because I really thought that the Maximum Fighting Championship should be the very first show ever to go into Vancouver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Heaven forbid, right? Listen, I'm a proud Canadian to the core, okay, to the floor. But what's wrong with us? What's wrong with Canadians? You're sitting there going, yeah, bring the UFC here, bring the UFC here. They're going to come there once a year,
yeah.
Right? I'm going to come there four times a year. I'm going to bring amazing cards live on television four times a year. Maybe if I bump my head, we'll do four MFCs there a year and two Heat XCs a year there. You'll get your fix six times a year with Pavlid Sports. No, instead, the government goes, no, we're going to sanction this sport basically solely for the UFC. Bring them in to do one show, and that's it.
Yeah, it looks like they're one and done here. You've run into some problems with the PNE as a venue. Have you thought about running another venue?
That's not true. I had a great experience with the people at the PNE. They were extremely professional to deal with. The funny part is there was a guy in Parliament there, not Parliament.
City Council.
City Council, excuse me. And he was one of the people that voted against mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides that he goes, okay, I'm going to vote against mixed martial arts. Guess what? Newsflash, this guy's on the city council, and he votes against MMA. Then he turns around, and he's the main guy on the board of directors at the PNE.
Yeah, we're talking about Ray Louie now.
Hey, is that his name? Hey, Ray, if you're listening, right?
Right.
He's the one. So Ray turns around and says, no, I'm not going to have MMA in my venue. So what you're saying is it's been sanctioned, and now you're a little bit sour about it, so now you're going to take your little lunch pail and you're going to go home, right? And that's exactly what he did. They voted against them because we're a free country, right? And they voted for MMA, but then he went and decided, no, I'm going to not let the Maximum Fighting Championship go inside the Agridome because he's on the board of directors there.
So it's basically one guy blocking you out at this point.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't sit around and lose sleep about it. I don't, because I'm like, no, we're just going to keep doing this. We're going to re-sign with Mark Cuban. We're going to get bigger. We're going to do that kind of stuff. And it shames me because I love the city of Vancouver. I love the people in Vancouver. And I think it's them who are deprived from it. You know what I mean? It's like, you listen, they come one time to the Maximum Fighting Championship, and you know what the next interview we had was? People are going to go, wow, man, I had no idea it was at that level.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Most guys that come here that fight in the Maximum Fighting Championship, like Jesse, JT, Money, Taylor, you know, those type of fighters,
mm-hmm.
You know, the John Alessios, you know, the guys that have fought before, Mike Nichols, Solomon Hutchinson, David Heath, all the people, you know, they come here and they can't believe the level it's at. Can't believe it.
Well, we keep hearing that liability issues is one of the largest sticking points here in Vancouver. How much were they asking you to put up for insurance?
I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but that's not the breaking point of the deal, right? Mm-hmm. That's the least of my concern. My main concern was that, okay, where's another venue for the MFC to go put on a show there? Where?
Yeah, well, other than Rogers Arena, there isn't too many...
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
I'm in a situation where it's like, great, you sanctioned MMA, but there's no venue for me to go in.
All right. So basically what happened is, you know, they passed UFC for a one-and-done measure, and people like you and other people who wanted to bring MMA to Vancouver basically left just as spectators, I guess.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say a spectator. I just say, like, you know, I'm not going to – the MFC's not going to die if we never go to British Columbia, you mm-hmm. know? It's a shame. I think it's terrible, right? Because I love the city. I love the people. But it's like, you know, that's up to the people there that, you know, decide – you know, what's going to happen or what's not going to happen. And like I said, it's a very clear cut that Mr. Louis decides, no, we're not going to have MMA. It's been sanctioned, but I've decided to say, because I'm at that other venue, no, it's not going to happen. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
But it's legal. Do you understand? It's been sanctioned, and he decided to do that. Someone should really look into that person.
Absolutely. Since Vancouver seems to be a lone holdout in this province, have you given any thoughts to running Victoria instead?
Victoria's not legal either. Right?
Well, they've had some good crowds with Armageddon Fighting Championships there.
It's not really legal. Like,
well, they've jumped on board. They just had a card there last month with Caleb Starnes headlining.
Hey, listen, newsflash. They say that all the time. They just like it's legal in Saskatchewan when some guy in Saskatoon puts on a show. And they go, oh, it's legal, right? It's not legal, okay? Listen, how come I can't go to Victoria, British Columbia right now, the Maximum Fighting Championship? I'll put those HDNet trucks on that ferry. I'll drive them right across. Hey, I got a great relationship with Adam Zujak, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll take his whole stable to fight on in the Maximum Fighting Championship, including Ryan Ford, who's under contract with us, Gavin Neal, who's under contract with us, right? Mm-hmm. And that would be a great start to put on a show in Victoria.
Yeah.
It's not legal in Victoria. They go out to the outskirts of Victoria, not in actual Victoria. And they put on a show. That's what they do.
I see. Have you been in contact with any city staff representatives since UFC was in town?
In Victoria or in Vancouver?
In Vancouver.
No.
No, so you've just basically abandoned it because they've given
no,
you such a hard time?
I just kind of like it's frustrating. I mean,
sure, no, I understand that.
If I spend my whole day trying to worry about getting things sanctioned and this and that, well, you know, just it's so draining to sit there and do that all the time. And the bottom line is that you're dealing with a place where I got one guy that's basically saying, no, I don't want it here. So until he gets voted out of the Agrodome or he gets pushed aside where the Agrodome goes, no, this is something we're really interested in doing, I can't go to General Motors place to put on a show. It's too big.
Right. But now that Ontario has approved MMA for 2011, what are MFC's plans regarding expansion of that area?
We have three deals right now that are in place with three different places. We have six deals in place. We have three deals that we're going to exercise for when it finally does get sanctioned. And I'm going to try what I did in Vancouver in Ontario, that the Maximum Fighting Championship be the very first MMA organization to ever be sanctioned in Ontario.
So the West loss is the East gain is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's like, and you know what's weird? It's like, the funny part is, I think Ontario waited for you guys to go first. It was weird. It was like, if anybody thought it would go first, right, you think it's a bunch of liberals in Ontario that go, okay, we'll decide first. We'll make MMA legal. No, they didn't. They waited for you guys to go first, and then they went after, and then when they announced that they're going to go, the BC doctors now are trying to get MMA banned.
Yeah, BC Medical Association with that resolution.
BC Medical Association isn't sitting around trying to figure out how to get rid of cancer. They're not figuring out how to get rid of AIDS or anything else like that. They're trying to ban MMA.
Yeah, and Dr. Ian Gillespie, the president, in an interview said that he had never seen an MMA contest before, wasn't familiar with the rules or any statistics pertaining to the safety either.
can you imagine you said that out loud on the radio? And he's sitting there going, listen, man, there's a sport out there called eventing, okay? It's cross-country horse racing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be banned, right? Because people are dying in it monthly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. I've watched the sport of eventing, okay?
Right.
I've watched it. I visually saw it, right? Now, I personally, honestly, all joking aside, don't think it should be banned. But that's their sport, and people are dying at it all the time. Car racing, it's happening all the time. People are dying.
Yeah.
Right? some guy that's a doctor in BC that's never watched the sport of MMA is saying that we should have it banned. Can you imagine that?
Censorship is very Canadian, apparently.
That's not Canadian. That's ignorance. Can you imagine a doctor that went to school and was educated the way he was can make such a stupid statement?
No, I can't. It blows my mind.
No, it's unbelievable. You know, and you're the second person that told me that he has not watched an MMA event, but he just deems it that it's dangerous and that he should. You know what, man? They're looking for attention. I don't know what they're trying to do. They're trying to do some fundraising, or they want to get some attention onto their medical field or whatever they want to do. I'm telling you, they should sit around their boardroom and come up with cures for very serious diseases instead of getting involved in a very safe sport like mixed martial arts.
Yeah, it reeked of a PR maneuver to me anyway.
Sure it did.
Yeah. Anyway, I was reading your Twitter today, and which is always entertaining, by the way, and you made an interesting comment. People do not understand the sacrifice and commitment to be at this level in the MMA game. All you pretend promoters will be exposed in time. Who are you referring to specifically?
That's a good question, man. That's a great question, man. I believe that there's an overabundance, not just in Canada. Okay, all right, today's the day. Shine, Shark, CFC, Canada Cage Canada, The Fight Club, these other little low ones, I don't even care because I think they need to survive. We need a ground, proving ground for those type of guys to get ready, you know? Mm-hmm. But those type of shows, to me, I think that they're pretend promoters. They're guys that they thought this was something really cool to get involved in, and then they went and did it, you know, and they think they're helping the sport, and in turn they're hurting it, you know. If shows are doing it right, then I'm never going to say nothing about them, you know. Mm. But it's the show. Listen, there's even shows over in Japan and other shows like that I see fight records of a guy who's 27-2 fighting a guy who's 0-3.
Yeah, Japan's always been spotty with regulation
spotty.
And things.
Well, boy. That's the politically correct way to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's absolutely insane, some of the matchups I've seen lately on television with these shows. And I'm like, God, like, is it only me that's noticing this? It can't be, you know? Yeah. You know, when I go see fight cards and everybody from the red corner wins and everybody from the blue corner loses.
Yeah. Well, in Japan, the joke's always been that, you know, if it goes to a decision, you better be Japanese or you're not going to win.
No, you're not going to win. You're right. You're 100% correct.
Yeah, they got a very hometown bias there. Even you mentioned Shine Fights. I'm not even aware of Shine Fights putting on a card. All I hear about are the ones that get canceled.
You know, it gets canceled, and it kills me that these guys, they put up this money for guys, and then you know what's funny? The second they go under, we get a million phone calls from those guys because they wanted to make that quick money. And my new answer to you guys is, don't call us. We are looking for guys that want to be part of our organization. They want it ingrained in them like we ingrain it into us with our work ethic. Listen, man, if you think this is a place to come to get ready for the UFC, you're well mistaken, okay? I can give you a list of fighters that got released from the UFC, came to MFC, got destroyed, and now they're fighting in shows like Shark and Shine and all these other Joker shows.
Mm-hmm. Onward and upward to MFC's next show, which was originally announced for Brandon, Manitoba, but now will be taking place at the River Creek Casino outside of Edmonton September 10th. What led to the change in venue?
Mediocre ticket sales, lack of hotel rooms, lack of the transportation is kind of screwed up there because you can't fly directly into Brandon.
No.
Hotels was a humongous problem. The First Nations was having a huge convention there the same weekend. You know, we need, I don't want to exaggerate, 100 hotel rooms. We couldn't get half of them, basically.
Okay. All right, well, the card is headlined by Ryan the Real Deal Ford taking on Douglas Lima, and this is Ford's return to MFC after leaving a couple of years back under, shall we say, acrimonious circumstances.
What does that mean, acrimonious?
Well, you had some rather unflattering things to say after Ryan left. I'm just wondering, what brought the Real Deal back into the fold?
Adam Zujek, Steve Gavin, Jake Hirsch, my son Dave Pavlich, about six people, and it had nothing to do with me and Ryan Ford.
Okay.
They just have wisdom. Like, I take shit way too personal. That's my biggest problem, and I stopped doing that of late, you know? And I look at everything from a business standpoint now. And my son and wife look at everything like a totally like business. They don't have nothing personal with anybody. So all these people together got together and said, hey, let's make this happen. This will be huge, you know. And we all know that Ryan Ford is probably the one of the most exciting fighters in the world.
Absolutely.
He is. It's like, I don't care. Listen, you want to watch John Fitch fight, man? For real.
Not particularly.
You want to watch George St-Pierre fight? Honestly, you really don't anymore. Even though you're a proud Canadian, you can't even pull yourself to the TV screen to watch his lame-ass fight while he's going to sit there and lay on a guy for five rounds. I want to watch John Jones fight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch Clay Guida fight. Sure. I want to watch Ryan Ford fight. I want to watch Tom Watson from England, who fights for me. I want to watch him fight, you know? I want to watch Dwayne Lewis fight because chances are he's going to knock somebody out or he's going to get knocked out, but that's what's going to happen while you're watching that fight, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Right now, it's not about any organization because a lot of organizations, guys are fighting really safe, right? Mm-hmm. And in our organization, it's not really allowed. You know, it's like, you know, when you're coming here, you're going to be in a fight, you know? Douglas Lima, this new guy I just signed, same thing. 15-4 record, American top team. He knew where he was coming. He understood what was going to happen when he gets here. He can't wait to fight Ryan Ford, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of people now. You know, that's the direction we're going in.
So you're looking for the young, hungry bucks of the sport to line up for MFC?
You don't have to be young because, look at David Heath. David Heath made a great career in the MFC, and he still hasn't had the greatest record in the MFC. The difference is he comes here to fight. Right, David Heath is like he's a highlight reel of fighting. Why did I sign Luciano Acevedo, the only person to ever beat Jose Aldo, and just didn't beat Jose Aldo, choked his ass out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I sign him because I need that. That's the direction my organization's going in. Ford, Lima, Acevedo, right? You throw in a Jesse Taylor, you throw in a David Heath and a Solomon Hutchinson, then you toss back in a Dwayne Lewis, right? And you know that's the way it's looking. You know, the Ryan Jimmos, you know,
Antonio McKee.
Listen, I love it. People hate him, they despise him, but he hasn't lost in 7 years.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Why someone come up with a master plan to kick his ass? Come up with it, man. I'll sign you. Come on. You know, everybody that's done fighting him, listen, when he fought Noble looked like he got hit by a bus when it was over. But, it's a boring fight, right? Did you see the last fight with Fitch and
Alves?
Fitch? Yeah, did you see it?
I did.
He stood up. There wasn't a scratch on him.
Yeah.
There wasn't a scratch on him. Look at even St. Pierre, his last fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the English dude, right?
Hardy, yep.
Yeah, excuse me?
Dan Hardy, yes.
Yeah, I know their names, but I just got to stop giving them so much validity. So what happens is Hardy, he gets up, not a scratch on his face, right? Mm-hmm. With Lee McKee, he slaps him around a little bit when he gets him on the ground, right?
Right.
Guys are standing up. I mean, Carlos Prater looked like he got shot in the face with a salt gun when he got up after fighting McKee.
Absolutely.
You know?
All right, so we've got MFC coming in back into River Creek Casino September 10th. And then what happens next for MFC? You've got your Ontario plans. Are you looking to build a nationwide powerhouse here now?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think we have a nationwide powerhouse now. I just think it's important because I think we need to get to Ontario, and we have to get there very carefully. And then we have to develop Heat XC because I honestly believe there's not an overabundance of high-level Ontario fighters. I really don't. So, name me five high-level Ontario fighters. Can you do that?
Sam Stout, Mark Hominick.
Wait a second. That aren't signed.
Oh, that aren't signed. No, that would be much trickier.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So, that's where we're at right now. I mean, they thought that kid, what's one out of Extreme Couture in Toronto?
Horodesky?
No, the Russian guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm blanking on his name, but yeah. Anyway.
Serkinov.
Yeah.
So, same with him. They were ready to roll out the red carpet. He's the next thing, and he's 1-1 now
mm-hmm.
in MMA, right? So, not saying that he can't go anywhere. I'm just saying is there's not an overabundance of high-level Ontario fighters right now, and that's going to be the trick for us. And I think we might have to use Heat XC to develop those people to bring them into the MFC when Ontario opens up and the MFC, you know, puts on huge cards inside Ontario.
Yeah, we've heard the people at Warrior One kind of give a similar tale about, you know, running Warrior One out east there.
Who's that?
No one you would know, Mark. They're not on your level.
For sure. What is that?
It's a promotion that does cards. Right now, they've been doing them on the Ottawa-Gatineau border, and they've got television on the Score as well. And they've been talking.
They're not on live TV, though, are they?
No, absolutely not. No, they're not on your level, my friend.
No.
But they've been saying.
Have you heard of them before? Warrior One? You heard of that show, Dave? Yeah, he said he heard of it, kind of.
Okay, well, there you go. We've got Dave in the loop anyway.
Yeah.
They've been talking about running a larger markets like a Toronto, a London, as, you know, the big cards, and running sort of like a developmental league in the smaller places like a Sudbury or, smaller parts of Ottawa. Is that kind of the relationship you see MFC and Heat XC going to take? Maybe MFC goes in with the larger markets and we get some development shows in smaller markets?
I believe so.
Yeah. That's the plan right now?
Yeah, that's the plan, you know. Like I said, these other shows that you just mentioned, I get some stats on them sometimes, all joking aside, and see their attendance, right? So I don't know how you would start a developmental company when your show is a developmental company. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
you're barely staying alive, and you're going to start another show and have another name for it, and you're going to run around telling everybody that, you know, I know your attendance, right? And your attendance is brutal. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to sit around and go, we're going to start develop. Your show is a developmental thing. Listen, if you really play nice, if that person plays nice, we'll let your show be a developmental show for Heat XC.
All right.
That's the level I see their show at, right? I mean, you can sign a guy like one or two guys that have a decent name. Look at their roster. Go 10 people deep and see. You can't. You know what I mean? There's not 10 people deep on the whole roster. There's two or three guys. They put the smoke and mirrors up and go, here, we have these two or three guys signed, and then we got 300 people in our show. You know, don't forget, I used to manage and train Jason McDonald for 10 years, right?
Yep.
And he fought in their show, and there was 300 people there when he fought with Alessio.
Yeah.
Right? So before you start talking about expansion and everything like that, break 500 people, you know? Then break 1,000. Then break 2,000. You know, go like that.
Yeah, like you said at the beginning of the interview, learn to crawl before you learn to walk,
for
right?
Sure, man. We're barely jogging after 10 years, but you guys are talking all kinds of smack, like you this and that. It's hilarious. Like, people, please don't drink the Kool-Aid that these idiots are serving, because it's so false. It's such a lie. It's unbelievable. It's great to be a promoter, right? And it's great to, but there has to be some factual things to what you say on a daily basis. You know, and the circus clown that runs that show is very delusional on the numbers that he spurts out to people, and you know, he's on that and the Score, which I like, but what is it, like 2 months later after the fact? You know?
Yeah, there's a definite delay there.
There's a huge delay, and there's other shows that are on there too that are subpar, and it's okay because they're giving their content for free. You know, we're just not in that position.
Right.
You know, I tell people all the time, if you're not going to watch HTNet, man, watch the Fight Network, right?
Yeah.
And you can criticize it all you want. They're the ones that are, you know, struggling and making it happen and trying to keep MMA alive. And they're a 24-hour a day, you know, basically extremely pro-MMA, you know, support them, man.
Do you have your eye on any fighter right now to come into MFC, maybe shake things up a bit? Who's on Pavlich's radar?
Yes, I have five or six guys that are on my radar I have star post-its, you know.
Yeah.
And they're on my computer, and there's a few guys that I like. You know who I really like? I like Anthony Lapsley.
Really?
Yeah, I love him. I love the kid, man. I like that kind of fighter. I like guys that with that swagger and that bravado. And I mean, if Alessio would get his melon out of his, you know what, I would probably re-sign him. You know, but John's doing the tour right now of Cash Grab Tour. You know,
so
you know, but I'd love to see a fight with. You know, if Ford beats Lima, I'd love to see a Ford with Alessio and Ford, because I know they really don't like each other very much.
Oh, that'd be a huge fight.
Huge fight. Alessio is really good too, right? That's
absolutely
what people don't understand. Like, John can go as far as he wants, when he wants, and he had a fight against Daly that didn't go so well, but then he made certain fighters like Luigi look bad. He has that ability to do that, man. He really does.
Absolutely. Well, September 10th, we have got MFC back at the River Creek Casino, HD Net, and everywhere else, and anywhere in the continent, right, Mark?
Yeah, man. I mean, and it's live, you know, and it's, you know, and I never get tired of saying it, man. You know, it's because you know what? On the flip side of all this craziness, I couldn't be any more grateful that we have this deal with HDNet. I couldn't be any more humbled by it, honestly, because they showed me a lot about the business. Forget about the MMA side. They showed me a lot about the professional sports side of the business, and they showed me a lot of things like they are very responsible for jumping us up X amount of levels because, listen, when you're in business with Mark Cuban, there's no excuses, man, you know?
No.
And Guy Metzger and Andrew Simon, and these are all guys, and, like, people see Guy Metzger and they go, oh, you know, Guy Metzger used to be a fighter in the UFC, you know, what does he know, you know? But he knows a lot, you know? They're really on top of stuff. They're really intuitive about how things should be. Their camera guys are guys that know MMA, which is, there's a news flash, right?
Yeah, it's a not, huge
it's
bonus.
It's not like guys that were shooting five-pin bowling and then they go, hey, bro, come over here, you should shoot some of this MMA stuff, right? It's not like that, right? They're very on top of that kind of stuff. They're producers and all those kind of guys. They're really into MMA. They know the game, you know? And on all in honesty, they know way more than I do about production and how things should look. Mm-hmm. Like, I go to the production meetings, I basically say, hey, can I get anybody a coffee, right? Because yeah. I'm not, that's not my forte. That's more my son, HDNet guys. They're unbelievable. I really do. I think they're the best people to shoot MMA.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, you are a master promoter. Anything else you'd like to give a shout out to before we wrap this up?
I'd like to thank everybody. I'd like to thank my wife, my son, my daughter, my family, all family members and friends now that are, you know, very supportive, our fans especially, right? They're very loyal, and like I said, I know I get crazy sometimes and I say crazy stuff, but all in all, like I said, I'm very grateful to get up every morning as the owner of the Maximum Fighting Championship, and to be able to do what I do every day and make an actual living doing it is it's like I said, it's a dream. It really is, and it's fantastic.
Couldn't have put it better myself. Mark Pavlich on In the Cage with Bards, 101.9 CITR-FM. Marcus, hold the line a bit, and I'll see you off.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Pit Pub and Burger Bar is home of the famous Pit Night. Relax with great prices on cold beer and lots of big screen HD TVs, or chow down on charbroiled burgers, beer battered fish and chips, and Belgian fries. The Pit is open 7 days a week, and Wednesday through Saturday is open late until 2 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
Well, that's it about for me. Another great week. Mark Pavlich, an amazing guest, an amazing guy to talk to, and a lot of fun, too. Don't forget MFC coming up. And, of course, this Saturday, UFC 118 coming at you from Boston. Randy Couture versus James Toney. Frankie Edgar against BJ Penn. It'll be a lot of fun. That's it for me. Until next time, this has been In the Cage with Bards.